Well, I don't really know what could be added to what has gone before. It's taken up nearly every phrase of our life down here, and even what's going to happen after we leave here. Not like him now, we're going to be like him after we leave here. I want to look a little further at where our brother left off. John's Gospel, chapter 60. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. Take of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Lord Jesus is speaking in chapter 6 of John, and as we know, he's bringing before them, they should live and feed on the living bread that came down from God out of heaven. And that's what has been put before you from the beginning of our conference. We are to be careful as to our food. Daniel was careful as to his food, and we should be careful as to our food. And if we're not careful to our food, there's a possibility that we will be getting the wrong kind of nourishment. And we'll have the same effect that we have in this chapter. You know, people are very interested in what kind of food I eat. I had more instructions on the way to eat and live when I was in Philadelphia, the city of the beloved, than in all the years of my life, and I've lived well over a half a hundred of them, and they tell me the way to live is on carrot juice. Well, it's all right to drink a little carrot juice. I'm not against carrot juice at all. But I do know that people are more interested in what goes into their automobile than what goes into their stomach. I know that. And there's no use in us trying to get around it. The Lord Jesus was speaking here very direct, and he says that you should feed on the bread that came down from God out of heaven, and they absolutely turned their back on him, and they would have no more fellowship with it. And there's some of you in the conference, and you're going to go away from this conference the better of being here. And you're going to say, yes, I know discipleship is going to cost me, but I'm going to give God the first place in my life, not the back seat at all. And I believe you're going to do that. And it's going to pay big dividends, because the 19th of Matthew says that if you have forsaken houses, or father or mother or houses or land or wife or children for my sake or for my name's sake, you shall receive 100-fold. And I don't know any banks in Sioux City or in any other part of the 50 states. I don't know any bank that's paying 100-fold, my friend. 100 times 100. And that's what he says, the dividend to you that is going to take up your cross and follow him. I don't know if there are channels here, and you're going to say, yes, salvation didn't cost me a nickel, but I'm going to put everything in for discipleship. There's a one here that's going to take her stand with the Lord this afternoon. When they heard the message, and it wasn't T. Armitella that was speaking, it was the blessed Lord Jesus. And when they heard the message, many of them went back and walk no more with it. Why, we don't want to keep company with that fellow. Why, to think that we're going to have to put everything into the cross valley. Going to have to put everything into that. Well, after all, this life is only a few days compared to eternity, that's all. And one of these days you're going into eternity, and it's only what you put into it you're going to get out of it. It may be that I'm speaking to some here this afternoon, and the very thing that's going to call you from financial economy is on the way right here now. There is a possibility, I say, that you might leave this body just cut for clay, and the moment you do, you are either present with the Lord or you're present with the rich man in hell. That's a real hell, my friend. And so when the talk of discipleship was brought by the Lord Jesus to them, many of them went back and walked no more with him. I trust that won't be said of anyone here this afternoon. Then we find that he turned and he looked at the 12 disciples. And he said to them, no doubt a little bit discouraged at the rest of them, "With thou hast to go away." And Peter, the spokesman of the rest, he said, "Lord, where shall we go? I don't know who you can turn to in trouble. I don't know who you can talk to at any time, my friend. From the Lord Jesus. And why should you turn your back on him? Lord, to whom shall we go?" They went down into the cave of Adullam because they believed in him, and because they decided for him, and because they were ready and willing to be obedient to him. And the 12th chapter of Romans says, verse 1, that you and I are to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, well pleasing to God. I find out in my verse that they went back, but Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." Now we'll please to the 10th of Matthew for a little while. Matthew chapter 10, please. And verse 24. "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and his servant as his lord. If he hath called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" Now I want you to notice that here, my friend, is the person of a disciple. And that is to be like your master. We were hearing this afternoon already that we're going to be like him when we leave this thing. But it's a good time to start here. Heaven stops down here upon this earth. We can have a little touch of heaven, my friends, during this conference. And if heaven is not started down here, I doubt very much you know much about heaven when you leave. Now, you remember, away back in the book of Judges, the question was asked, "What manner of men were they whom you slew?" And they looked at the preacher and they said, "Well, as thou art, so are we. Each one of them resembled the child of a king. What manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? As thou art, so are they. Each one of them resembled the child of a king." You know, we're living in a day when people get up and they tell us, "Well, you know, I'm familiar with so many different translations of the Bible. And I've read so many different books and so many commentaries. And of course, they're filled up with books. But I tell you that the only book today that the world is seeing and the world is reading and the only translation is the translation that Peter speaks. We are epistles, none of God. None by all men, none and read by all men. Epistles, none and read by all men, my friend. That is your individual life and my individual life. As we read in the book of Romans chapter 14, your life in this old world and my life in this old world has got an influence either for good or bad. And therefore it is your right and your privilege to live for God. So at the end of the journey, you'll hear that word from the Master as we've been hearing about Stephen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now it's nice to get that well done. And you and I are to live for the Lord and to elect the Lord down here so that our friends and our neighbors will know who we are and whom we serve. Luke's Gospel chapter 14. Luke's Gospel chapter 14. Gospel according to Luke. That's over where we were a little minute ago. Go take a look, please. And that verse, O brother, read. Verse 25 and 26. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and his mother, his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. And over in that other scripture I read, we had the portion of a disciple. Here we have the price of a disciple. And it's nice to know that what it says about the price of a disciple. Now, you've been hearing a little bit about this, and about cross guards. I want to bring it a step further. What is meant by this word, hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, or even your very own self, for my sake. If you don't do it, he says, you cannot be my disciple. You have been hearing that it, the word of God does not say that you cannot be my child. That was settled at Calvary, when I received him as my own personal savior. But the Bible says you cannot be my disciple. We say that I have an appointment tomorrow morning to meet with the Lord at 9:30. I have kept that appointment as far as my ability for well over 30 years. That appointment is, I meet around the Lord's table to carry out his dying request, this do in remembrance of me till I come. But I think tomorrow morning, there is a number of my relatives come here. Sometimes that happens. And they have not seen me maybe for 10 years. And I noticed they just come in around 9:15. Time I was leaving. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay at home with my relatives? Am I going to stay at home with that first cousin, that Aunt Jenny? Am I going to stay home with Uncle Billy? Oh, there's my lost brother for many years. Am I going to stay at home with those relatives? He says, if you stay at home with them, you cannot be my disciple. He must have the first place. For upon the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And that appointment is not, my friend, with your brethren and your sisters. The appointment is with the Lord. And if you love your brother and your sister more than you love the Lord, and stay at home with them, you have broken the appointment of God. Now I wonder, is it true that some of you have done that very thing? You have allowed people on the prayer meeting night. You've allowed people on the worship meeting night. When there's ministry going on, when there's someone preaching the good word of God, you have allowed someone to come in between you and the Lord. Or maybe you were tired. And you say, well, I'm just too tired. And it's wonderful how people can get better right after the hour of the meeting. And sit up to midnight. Go out for some ice cream even at midnight. Surprise. But he says, if that is so, you cannot be my disciples. John's Gospel chapter 13, please. John's Gospel chapter 13. And verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you hate one another, as I have hated you, that ye also may hate one another. Isn't that a good verse? Isn't that the way the translation reads? You ever see two goats hooked up together and you're trying all the time to get the rear ends together? Sometimes you stand at the door, see, and you see people and they're going out like this. And there's others and they give you the hand and they'll be looking the other way. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another and find it. Shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now that is the proof of a disciple in the eyes of the unconverted. It's the love and the devotion you have to the Lord and the love and the devotion you have to God's dear people and the lost soul. Do you really love God's people? Do you make God's people your people? I want to remind you, my friend, with all their faults and with all their failures, there's no people on the face of the earth like God's dearly. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, I wonder when we are coming together and when we're not coming together, I wonder if people see that loving. Oh, you probably left a young lady, you know, and wanted to see her boyfriend. And he was telling her, well, you know, honey, I would go through fire and water for you. I do that. Oh, she was talking, of course, in a phone booth and the rain was coming down. And she said, well, all right, you come up and see me instead of wasting time talking on the phone. Said it's too wet. There are some of God's dear people, my friends, like that. And they talk about love to God and they have never yet taken the first step in obedience to Christ. You say, what's the first step? The first step, my friends, that you take in discipleship is down into the waters of baptism. Identifying yourselves with Christ, acknowledging you to the world, I am dead to the world. I'm going down underneath the water, I'm telling the world I'm buried with Christ. And then, where is to walk in the newness of life? Ah, dear friends, I don't know anything like discipleship, but it's going to cost you something. I don't know whether you're going to be with the many or the few. You that will just say, Lord, I'm going to stay there. Others may go, but I'm not of those that draw back. I'm going to stay there. Well, you're going to receive a big reward in the end. So here we find there's the love and the truth of discipleship before the world. Back to John chapter 8, if I remember right. John chapter 8. Verse 31. This wasn't what was on my mind this afternoon, so if I make a little blunder or two, just you have to look it up for yourself. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you stay away from the prayer meeting, you are my disciples indeed. Isn't that good? You know, it's wonderful the way people read the Bible, isn't it? How many of you think I read that right? Not one in the whole lot of them down your right, that's it. You see, I need a new pair of glasses. Let me find it again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples in this? Godly continuance in the assembly of God's people is the proof of a disciple, my friends, in the eyes of his brethren. If you continue in my word. There's some people, and oh, they're so happy when the conference comes around. And then if you were to drop in on the prayer meeting night or any other night, you couldn't send. If you continue in my word, godly continue, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, lest at any time thou shalt let it be. Godly continue. Now over to another little one, and I'm going to let you out on time. I always try to do that. Hello, I heard a dear brother, he's with me today, say one time, he said the only time I ever knew you to sit down in 20 minutes is when you had a fever of 104. I'm not going to tell you who the brother is because he's in the office. You wouldn't want to embarrass him, but I had a fever of 104. And I see another brother there that knows it too. But, at any rate, here is something that I want you to notice. Look at the 15th chapter of John, please. That's it. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples indeed. Now the last one in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I want to make sure this is in here, if I can find it. Verse 29. And every one that has forsaken houses, brethren or sisters, father, mother, wife or children, lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, the last first. Now, I've read a good number of scriptures in connection with disciples. The purpose of a disciple is to bear fruit. That's what we get in John chapter 15. The proof of a disciple in the assembly is godly continuance. The proof of a disciple in the world is the love toward God and the love toward God's dear people. You can't afford to turn your back on God, and you can't afford to turn your back on God's people. When you're sick and trouble and trials, there's no people that will stand by you like the people of God. I know it, Mr. Then I looked at the price of a disciple. You can't allow anyone. I don't care whether it's a father or a mother, a wife or a child or a husband or a boyfriend. I better put that in too. You almost have to call a spade today. Because we're not to be unequally yoked in any way with unbelievers. Whether in a matrimony affair or whether in a political affair or whether in a business affair. God's people, my friend, is a separated people. And we can't allow any of these things to come in between us and God. I wonder as we sit down for this session of the meeting, and as you have listened to a fourfold message from this prophet, I wonder are you determined with a holy determination. When I get away from this place, I'm going to put up my flag for God. I'm going to go in for discipleship. I'm going to go in for that well done that Stephen received. The Lord Jesus, when he finished the work, he sat down, but he did something he did for nobody else. When the first martyr died, he stood on his feet, the heavens opened, and Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen to the glory. Ah, dear friends, there's something better than living for a child of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord is his Father. Stephen received the better part. You and I may be there even before the sun goes out tonight. Jesus has come. When he comes, the dead in Christ should be raised from. You and I saved by his grace, our body will be shed. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. My, what a grand thing to be saved. What a terrible thing not to be saved. It's a terrible thing not to be saved. Something worse than dying, my friends, if you're not saved tonight. That is, if you die in your sins, you have to meet God and to confess before him, I have played the fool, I've ever exceeded. May God grant that you not be content with just being saved, but to go in for discipleship from this time forward.